American media is a business, and it has a mission. Not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with the capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it's a good day! This is Sean Kennedy, brought to you from the Internet for Monday, what is it, March 17th. That would be St. Patrick's Day, 2008. That's the day that Ireland drove all the snakes out, or St. Patrick drove all the snakes out of Ireland, or something to that effect. And that's why there's no snakes in Ireland to this very day. I'm not too sure if actually there are snakes in Ireland. Has anyone ever actually looked that up to see if there are, in actuality, any snakes that are in Ireland? I mean, because, you know, I wouldn't want to appear stupid, especially on a day like St. Patrick's Day. Apparently, though, that is the whole, that was the whole purpose of it, was that he was something to do with snakes. And this is Newsreel. I'm your host, Sean Kennedy, and this would be the WOG Global Sit-Rock on Core Political Tyranny, Technology, and Trends for your headspace and timing. Rant Media is taking a stand for free speech today. Just by listening and distributing this program, you are as well. And you can follow up on all these news stories, and you can check my facts by going to my live journal. And you can get there by going to sean_kennedy.livejournal.com. This would be a free podcast that can be heard on Rant Radio, SRN1, Wild Bunch Radio, WNY Media Network, KJAG Radio, Pure Rock Radio, Radio Red Mercury. And for those of you who are part of the Cyberscape, you can find us at the Second Light Node, Second Life Node, Marcel, MARCELL, grid coordinates 23011994. So you just show up there and you will be able to hang out at Hunkers Down, which is kind of funny. I don't know if they named it Hunker Downs or Hunkers Down. It's one of those two. I'm not even going to bother. I like the names that they've got put up on there right now, so I think it was Hunkers Down is what they wound up naming it. So it sounds good to me. I think I was going to call it Hunkers Down, but I like Hunker Downs. But I kind of like the idea of Hunkers Down as well. I mean, I think that's probably might even be a better name. So whatever is decided, I am just honored as hell that people are showing up in the Cyberscape. And here it is 10 years later. And, not quite 10 years. I guess it's coming up on the 9-year. I guess we're heading towards the 10 years, eh? 1 = 3, that's like 30 years. And Sim was saying, Sim's not here this week, unfortunately. I'm sorry. I know, you just have to deal with me. But Sam was talking to me last week, and he was saying that a lot of people are sending us emails saying things like, hey, you know, I used to listen back in the day, and then I disappeared for a while, grew up, and, you know, had kids, and got married, and had grandkids, and you're still on the air, holy cow, which is true. Yeah, we're still going strong, and thanks to the donations and the, well, just the interest of people like you, we're able to carry on with the show. Let's get in some feedback. Yo, Sean, I'm finished. Yo. Let's finish out. Yo, Finn. So, hey, Finn. My mom immigrated to the States in the 60s, and my grandfather on my dad's side immigrated from Sweden, that his parents are from Finland as well. Heard you were talking about Finnish soldiers and stuff. In World War II, my grandfather was a Nazi due to the debt that Finland had with Germany. It was a reluctant union in Finland's part, and as a result, Finland was the only access country that the U.S. never declared war on them. Interesting. Before the war was over, Finland said, okay, we're good, our debt is paid, and they packed up and they went home. Mostly, the Finns fought the Soviets in World War II. And my mother's father, a reluctant Nazi, told stories of seeing Russian soldiers advancing across frozen lakes, and then they'd blow up the ice and shoot the guys who didn't drown. Kind of nasty. This technique killed thousands of Russians. Also, Russians in smaller platoons would surrender to, like, a soldier or local Finnish villager. And this was because the Finnish army treated their POWs better than the Russians treated their own army, which is true. I mean, if, you know, that was that, well, Enemy at the Gate. If you watch that, that's based in some history there. It's pretty good film to watch, Enemy at the Gate. This was because the Finnish army treated the POWs better than the Russians treated their own army. Finnish people are pretty nice. The Finns have fought in over 20 wars with Russia, mostly for land, and Finland has only lost 40 square miles of land to them. And that land is crap anyway because it's above the Arctic Circle. Well, yeah, it's too bad. Peace and WOG Greece, Grundleboy, the Viking WOG. Well, there's something to be said. You know what I mean? If you're from Finland, you know, I guess that whole area is, you know, full of where that's where the Vikings come from. Good Nordic raiding types. That's if Nordic raiders can be considered good. But, yeah, we were talking about Finland a little bit there. Got a little bit of feedback there, so I thought it was kind of cool. Let's get into some news, because I got a ton of it. In Cyberstate news, and this is thanks to Destin, who's been gone for a while. I haven't heard from him for a bit, but then all of a sudden he showed back up. Anyway, Destin says, one of the most recent controversies dogging the RIA's legal campaign against file sharing is whether Media Century, now a division of SafeNet, needs a state-issued private investigator license to operate lawfully. It's a question that has been raised on several contested RIA lawsuits, and now the state of Michigan has told the company that it needs a license to operate there. An anonymous Michigan resident filed a complaint with the Michigan Department of Labor and Economic Growth accusing Media Century of operating as an unlicensed private investigator. Now, this is interesting because this is what happens when it goes on to talk about how the RIA is using Media Century. They're another contract. You know, it's another shadow run situation where you've got private contractors taking the role of law enforcement. We see this with Blackwater. This is not a trend that you can really do anything about. This is just happening. See, you know, it's kind of funny. A lot of people, they read my live journal, you know, and they get mad because they think that I have an opinion one way or another way. What they don't realize is that your opinion doesn't matter. See, that's the trick. It doesn't matter what you think about certain things. Certain things exist. You see, it doesn't matter if the people with no power are opposed to the war in Iraq. If the people who with the power are for the war in Iraq, there's nothing you can do about it unless you plan to openly revolt in the streets. And, well, the days of torches and rakes and throwing down the government, that's a nice idea in theory, but when you're living in a day and age where you've got, you know, claymores made of tasers and, you know, private armies that don't have a problem opening fire on their own troops or on their own people and their indigenous populace with high cyclic weapons, and you've got tasers, you've got the ability to control populations. So the trick here is to not, you know, rage, you know, and go get yourself thrown into a camp. That's not a very WOG thing to do. I think the more WOG thing would be to try to, you know, anticipate what's going on in your environment so you can live some kind of a halfway decent life. You know what I mean? Like, on one hand, yeah, you want to make a difference. Yeah, you want to definitely not just, oh, well, I guess that's what's in vogue. We may as well now hate this group of people or that group of people or, you know, sign up to go kill this or that. No, it's if you know which way the wind's blowing, you can fix your sails in such a way that you can get to a destination that you yourself can choose to go to. And a lot of people get wrapped around the axles and they try to get you all whipped up into petitions and everything like that. I've never really felt comfortable using people for stuff like that. I think that, sure, you know, been there, I've done that, did things and all that kind of jazz. But realistically, at the end of the day, you have to make sure that you yourself, personally, you, the individual understanding the words as they're recorded and you're playing them back or whatever, you have to be aware of your environment so that you can interact with your environment in an anticipatory fashion. You know what I mean? Kind of like a hypervigilance for the future. You know, that's sort of a WOG mindset. It's it's probably a pretty good way to put it, actually. The whole idea being hypervigilant for the future so that if you can use your senses to anticipate the incoming blows, you can, you know, do the whole Marisi Yushua dynamic sphere Aikido thing and, you know, and use greater force against itself so that you, the individual, will survive. That's all I've really ever tried to get to with this WOG thing. It's not about, you know, trying to get you to buy a t-shirt. It's about trying to get people so that they are independent, thinking, functioning, tactical people. You know, that's the whole concept. In Shadow War news, now this is an interesting one here. Numerous hacks, meaning hackers, not people who don't know how to do their job, but numerous hacks from the Far East sure look like concerted attacks against the U.S. military installations, but nobody's saying for sure. Is the United States under attack again? It's another fear piece where they're talking about, you know, oh my God, we're constantly, well, you know, we are constantly under attack. There is a Cold War which is happening. Let me get through this story here. Recent reports have the U.S. military not quite blaming the Chinese military for a long string of cyber attacks against U.S. military computers. It sounds like they believe it, but they're not quite saying it. Also left unsaid is how much actual damage and compromise has happened already. A Wall Street Journal article, March 12th, described how military networks are increasingly the targets of hackers. The targets are not limited to Department of Defense networks, but can also include defense industries and think tanks. The full article is available to subscribers to this one website, blah, 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 blah. It goes on and talks about this whole concept between the Chinese attacking and in the intelligence community. I don't even really know to come up with a blanket statement saying, like, the Chinese. That's like saying the Americans or the British. I mean, well, who are they? Is that like, if you go to that, if you happen to be of Asian descent, are you Chinese? Or is this people who are technically inside the borders? Or people who just stand up and say, I am Chinese and I stand for, you know, like, what does that mean, the Chinese? I mean, is it the Chinese government or these people that are, like, just hackers from China and that what's making them? You see, you got to be careful with that. I think that, yeah, definitely. I mean, networks are always being probed. They're being probed by the Russians. They're being probed by the Chinese. They're being probed by my kids in Iowa with laptops in their basement. People probe. It's what they do. They try to find out information. But, you know, to sit there and try to classify one group, yeah, I'm sure the Chinese government's doing stuff. I'm sure they are. Some of the stuff the Chinese government does, I'm not a big fan of it. You know, I don't like some of the stuff they're doing. You can't really change too much of it, but you need to be aware of what's going on over there because, there's people who have some authority inside the United States who think that the way China runs things isn't so bad. So, knowing that, you can at least try to anticipate what the direction's going to be so that when, as the emergent of, like, the Chinese spin or the American spin on Chinese tactics, as that becomes more seen in the next few years. And a lot of people are like, oh, Sean, you're full of it. It'll never happen. Ah, sure, you know, I've been wrong lots before. Wait, not really. No, I really haven't. A lot of my future trends, unfortunately, have come true, and I wish they hadn't, you know. I wish Smokehouse, you know, was right more and I was wrong more. I really do. Because if Smokehouse was right more than I was right, then the world wouldn't be quite as morbid as it really is. You know, I mean, there's a lot of really bad stuff that I think is coming up pretty quick here. And it's up to us being the collective, the WOG, you know, the people who say, I am WOG, and no method, no guru, no teacher. You just decide to be accountable and think for yourself and have, like, a brain and stuff. It's going to be up to us to try to help all the other people who haven't quite got to that point yet. You know what I'm saying? So, what's our ally? You know, we're going to have some kind of a weapon in this. And our weapon, of course, is our mind. The old brain case there. And, of course, technology. You either master technology or you're mastered by it. And that's what we're talking about with augmented reality. I got a couple of augmented reality stories here where cybernetics is really stepping to the forefront. And sometimes, you know, I look at the child soldiers in Africa and I look at the torture things that are going on in the world and China, America, the Sudan, every country in the world that uses torture in one form or another, and just the suffering generally that exists, and you get kind of down, you know, because you can't do anything about it. It's one of those things that happens in reality. You know, you got kids getting blown up for, you know, tragic reasons, and you gotta go, well, you know, there's gotta be some sort of a way we can make this better. Right? There's gotta be something we can do that makes up for all this horror that's going on in day-to-day life. And that's where it comes to technology. Sometimes, you know, I'll get so bummed out reading news stories that get sent to me. People send me these amazing tech stories, you know. And it kind of gives me hope for the future. Maybe we're not totally fucked. You know, maybe we're not completely bitched because, you know, there are people out there, like good people at Sarcos, making power armor. You know, there's some seriously, you know, science fiction 50s stuff that's coming into reality now. And if we could focus more and be more on that, you know, don't let everything get you too far down. You know, somebody said one time, they said, sometimes, Sean, you know, you fly too close to the sun with a lot of the negativity and stuff like that. And it's true, you know. And other people have made, you know, offhanded comments about how everyone's, you know, a product of their environment. And my viewpoint is formed because of my environment, which is, you know, true of everyone, really. I mean, everyone's viewpoint is formed from their environment, right? I mean, your environment is what gives you your experiences. You make judgments based upon your experiences. And it should be your own experiences, not what you've read about other people's experiences, unless it's a trusted source. And unfortunately, the internet is not a trusted source. You know, really, there's a few people trust my call on things. There's been a lot of people, you know, who comment, come across my stuff online or whatever in some form. They go, you know what? Whether or not he's right, I mean, he definitely believes what he's saying. You know, he's not saying anything. So I always try to, you know, any advice I've ever given has always been with the best of intentions. Mind you, road to hell is paved with good intentions, but still. You have to look. Where I'm getting at with this is you have to trust your source. And just because it's online doesn't mean it's true. And that's why I give out the links for every news story that I read out. You know what I mean? But getting back to the augmented reality here, I got some augmented reality news. And that's one of the technologies I think is going to explode in the next few years. Check this out. Now, this is actually augmented reality where we're getting into, like, cyber displays. Where, you know, that the screens, the head-mounted displays, are getting better and better. And I haven't had a chance to get into the wiki because, I mean, I've got quite a bit of knowledge that I've built up over the years on wearables because I've always wanted to get into one. Eventually, I'm going to build myself one. Oh, well, don't worry. You know, knowing Sim, I'll probably... I thought about that for patrolling Season 3, actually. You know, like actually building a WOG wearable step by step, you know, so that people could see that in patrolling Season 3, because that would be an excellent way to, get everybody on net. You know, everybody had the same kind of device. It'd be really easy to... It'd have to be Lego. You'd have to, you know, have, like, a parts list, and you just run it like a kit, like an open-source kit to build the wearable. You know, sort of the same thing that Steve Mann did, only a little bit more spoon-fed. So that, you know, a guy with some basic computer knowledge... if you could build a computer with following if you could build a computer from scratch, like you put the case, motherboard, and all that stuff in. If you could do that, I believe you could build a wearable if you had the right kind of things in place. Like if you had the right kind of, the operating system ready to go, and you totally spoon-fed it. Because if you build one, you get the right components, it would work for another, and then, you know, it's an interesting idea. It's an interesting idea. But anyway, in augmented reality news, scientists at HN University... scientists at the HN University Clinic and the Fraunhofer Institute for Microelectric Circuits have developed a retinal implant that wirelessly receives optical signals from the outside. So this is a chip you put in your eye with no wires. The development aims at a technology to restore eyesight for blind persons or people. Worldwide, about 3 million people suffer from retina pigmentosa, an eye disease which slowly leads to complete blindness. Very much sucks. While retinal cells die off, some nerve cells in many cases remain intact. These cells can be stimulated through technical seeing aids such as retinal implants. However, power supply and signal transmission through wires incorporate significant hurdles for the patient as well as the designers. Now, the HN University Clinic and Fraunhofer Institute for Microelectric Circuits in Germany, I've developed an implant that may not only receive the optical signal through radio waves, also the energy required to supply the circuit is fed into the implant using electromagnetic fields. Amazing. I mean, this is very much Gen 1 stuff. This is very much in beta. But what we have here is we have the beginnings of a lens. You know, and we've all seen that they've got contact lenses now, but we're getting very close to augmenting reality. And I wonder how long it's going to be maybe that the listener's license might be changed to something visual. Are you cleared to see that? You know, augmenting your vision so that you have a constant augmented reality overlay. Very, very interesting. Very interesting. And that's just one story. Now, you zip over here. Also, in the same sort of field, a lot of people working on eyes. The eyes. Also in augmented reality news, check this out. A bionic device the size of a pencil eraser. A labor of 20 years. Now, give me a fucking break. You guys have not been working on this for 20 years, okay? Maybe you've got, like, community, but I hate it when they use specs like that. A labor of 20 years for a group of visionary hub doctors and scientists is offering hope that some forms of blindness could be alleviated within a few years. The Boston Retinal Implant Project, based in the VA Medical Center in Jamaica Plain, is one of 22 programs around the world working to restore vision to the degenerative mind. Their work, a bioelectric implant that delivers images to the brain via connector the width of a human hair. So this one's wired up. There has been an explosion of interest in this field because basically the technology in the last 20 years has become miniaturized enough and sophisticated enough so that for the first time, we can imagine building something small enough to put in the eye, said Dr. Joseph Rizzo, who founded the project in the late 80s and co-directs the 36-member team. Rizzo is a director of neuro-ophthalmology in the Massachusetts Eyes and Ear Infirmary, teamed with VA, MIT, and a handful of other institutions to create an implantable retinal device. This one is wired, though. The aim is to restore partial sight to people slowly gone blind because of degenerative diseases of the retina. So, again, same thing, but this one's wired. The other guys did it. It wasn't wired. I'm kind of the opinion, I think I'd rather have it wired. You know, really, I think I'd rather have The Wire going to it. I think it might be a little bit more reliable, to be honest with you. I'm not so sure that having all the extra radiation floating around inside your head, particularly your eyes, is a, you know, fantastically wonderful idea. Maybe that's something you should try to avoid. So, the eyes. Things are happening with the eyes. And as they get closer and closer to the eyes, because really, your eyes are just an extension of your brain, right? When we think about people, you know, even in history, well, in historical science fiction, which is kind of an interesting term, they would always have a head jack. You'd always jack into the head. You never thought about jacking into your eyes. I mean, there's some, the eyes are one of those kind of things that you don't really want to mess with, you know? The laser surgery, like if there was an operation on any other part of your body that would make it so that you didn't have to, you know, sit in a wheelchair anymore, it wouldn't be a problem. But because laser surgery involves your eyes, people are really hesitant about that. If you go blind, what are you going to do then? Then what you do? Then you fucked, right? So you want to make sure that you've got, you know, the whole eye thing kind of sorted out. It's an interesting concept to think of how, as we're implanting things into the eyes, because if you can implant something into the eye, what's to stop them from implanting other things into different parts of your brain? Won't be long before we got the exoskeleton helmet thing going on, where we got, you know, a constant feed, upload, able to access Wikipedia, which wouldn't that be great so that you can have everybody editing your memory? Not so good. Sometimes, I think that technology is a good thing, and I think it can be very useful. But other times, I think that, you know, you got to be careful that you're mastering the technology and you're not allowing yourself to be mastered by it. In brainwashing news, this is something else here. Now, this is a crazy story. Take the most complex organ in the human body, superimpose the legacy of biology's biggest research project, and what have you got? An unprecedented brain map that is set to transform studies of neuroscience and brain disease. As well as everybody else who's interested in controlling people in any way. The Allen Institute for Brain Science, in Seattle, Washington, United States, today, which was a couple days ago now, but is launching a four-year, $55 million effort to build a three-dimensional map documenting the levels of activity in some 20,000 different genes across the human brain. The Human Genome Project was the what? And our project is the where, said Alan Jones, the Institute's chief scientific officer. Established in 2003 with a $100 million gift from the Microsoft co-founder Paul Allen, the Allen Institute has already created a similar atlas of the mouse brain unveiled in 2006. What? Microsoft donated $100 million to Paul Allen, donated $100 million to help understand the mind. That's pretty cool. You know, $100 million. I mean, I can't imagine giving away $100 million, but I guess this guy did that. Just to figure out how the brain works. Kind of a nice thing to do. I mean, people rip on Microsoft all the time, but they don't build weapons, you know? So there's other people you can probably shit on other than Microsoft. And, yeah, Paul Allen's, that's a pretty fucking cool thing to do, really. I mean, you know, I don't know Paul Allen, but judging from this, I'd say that's probably a nice thing to do. By revealing patterns of gene activity, the mouse has allowed neuroscientists to identify functional important regions that were invisible simply by looking at the brain's anatomy. That's why the brain is such a unique structure, said Greg Follers, a neurosurgeon at Swedish NeuroBlah, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, so here's what they're doing. They're going to map out the human mind, okay? Now, this is going to be a big fucking project, okay? Trying to get the brain mapped out is a big, big project. However, this is going to happen. If Microsoft doesn't do it, or Paul Allen, or that institute, or whatever, somebody's going to do it. The Chinese will do it, the Koreans will do it, somebody will Russia, who knows? Somebody's going to do this. Okay? So you got to know that what are they going to do once they get that? Well, no. Follow the money. What's going to happen once they know how the mind works in detail? Who's going to be the first person on that? Well, it'll be advertising. That's going to be the first person who's involved with that. If you could control people's desires, Jesus. You don't even need to give them bread or circus anymore, do you? I mean, if you can control people's desires, you've got the whole thing. That's the game. Right there. You know, you've got it. You know, you've got to... It's like the keys to the kingdom, man. If you can plug into people's minds, hack their brains on a biological level so you don't even have to give them implants, you can just, you know, phrase the screens to run the right color system... I mean, it's something to watch, to be sure. and probably watched through yellow lenses. In SCOP news, SCOP taken from the brilliant novel by Bruce Sterling, Islands in the Net. If you haven't read it, it's part of your cyber history. Go read that. Go read that. Go read Operation Sun Devil. Go read, what else? The Cuckoo's Egg. The Cuckoo's Egg. If, for those of you who wish to read up on your cyber history, The Cuckoo's Egg by Cliff Stoll. Probably one of the first books ever written to really bring computers into the, well, just read the book. Okay, it's a good read, even though it's dated today. It's a neat read. It's a neat little detective story about a guy who hunts down a hacker in Russia. Very, very cool. But anyway, SCOP news. Brazilian protesters destroy GM crops. Apparently, around 300 women, rural residents in Brazil, burst into a property owned by the U.S. company Monsanto and destroyed a plant nursery and crops containing genetically modified corn. Interesting. The women were protesting what they saw as environmental damage to the crops. They trashed the plants within 30 minutes, left before the police arrived at the site. In the southern state of Sao Paulo, a member of the Landless Workers Movement, Igor Forid, told the AFP. The Brazilian government had caved into pressure from agribusiness by recently allowing tinkered crops to be grown in the country. In Brasilia, a protest by another 400 women from an umbrella group, Via Campesina, the Rural Way, was held in front of the Swiss embassy against Sinergida, the Swiss company that is selling genetically modified seeds in Brazil. You know, as I read these stories, I'm just inspired. Fat Ninja sent to me a thing the other day recommending the new Appleseed movie. I think it's called Machina or Deus Ex Machina, but there's a new Appleseed movie out. John Woo's involved with it. It's ridiculous. I mean, it really is. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous and beautiful, you know, all at the same time. It's like Armies of Darkness. You look at Armies of Darkness, and it's like, yeah, it's hokey. And yeah, you know, visually, it's funny as hell. And it's a hokey movie, and it's corny. But at the same time, it is made of a flavor of awesome that can only be achieved every now and again by truly brilliant people. I mean, that's the kind of film that Armies of Darkness is. And for those of you who disagree with me, die. You are wrong. No, seriously, it's like one of those kind of things. It's like Monty Python has the same sort of level of awesomeness that Armies of Darkness does. You know what I mean? And there will be people who would say that John Woo films have that same kind of awesomeness flavor. You know, and the new Appleseed is very different from there's the old Appleseed made in 86. Then there was a new one just came out. And they've done another one again, and it's definitely worth watching. It's a good time. Don't go in there with any expectations. Visually, it's stunning. Beautiful film. Check it out. But anyway, in these films, these worlds that are created by, like, Shiro Matsumune and others, you see that there's always terrorism and people extremists, you know, people raging against the powers. And the problem is that you have, largely you have the wacky protester types and you have the left-wing, you know, Noam Chomsky types who impudently stand by the wayside waving their arms up and down, squawking and complaining. And then you have, you know, the other groups who try to get organized, but they try to go against they try to be violent in a direct way. Paul Watson's a classic example of this. Okay, here we got Paul Watson sailing around the ocean in his boat, you know, the last great champion of, you know, the sea. But, I mean, is he really making a difference? You know, okay, yeah, all right, he's drawing a lot of attention and pressure, yada, 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 to the whaling thing. And these folks down here in Brazil who, like, stormed into Monsanto, yada, 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 are they really going to stop that? Is that going to stop the genetically... You can't uninvent that shit, okay? You can't uninvent it. So what are we going to do here? You know, you got to think, what is going to happen in the future? You know, you must be prepared for that. It's not just about fighting the battle, okay? You have to understand whether or not the battle can be won or whether or not the battle's already been lost and you just don't know it yet. You know, it's... Change will occur. Change is coming. You cannot stop the change that is happening, so my only suggestion would be to try to guide the change that is coming. And try to, you know, tie yourself to some quasi-hippie ideology or, you know, the whole, you know, earth movement it doesn't really jive with a lot of the technical stuff that's happening out there. And later, I got a story which is following this, where the extremists are starting to turn against, well, no, I shouldn't say the extremists, but a lot of people are turning against technology now because they're thinking that that's happening with the Alex Jones crowd. Alex Jones has been really down on transhumanism and stuff like that. It's a dangerous game to play, because if you start kind of going the whole, like, no, technology and the computers and everything, and you kind of live on that fear. No, technology is a tool that if anyone needs to know how to use technology, it would be the protester. It would be the person who wants to influence change in a positive way so that we can encourage reality to not be, you know, so incredibly hideously evil. I mean, yeah, the whole thing is kind of Lovecraftian. And here I am doing this show, you know, trying to ease the suffering of everyone else in the fire. But, you know, it's important that we don't allow ourselves the luxury of indiscriminate hate. You know, we have to be very, very focused on what we choose to call enemy and what we choose to use as tools to defeat the forces that we're trying to destroy. If that makes sense, I hope that does. On that topic, you know, I got a strange death. Strange death. Listen to this story. This is interesting. Very, very interesting. A strange death happened in Manchester, England. A city police chief, who led an investigation into the charges that Britain had cooperated with secret CIA flights to transport terrorism suspects without formal proceedings, has been found dead, his deputy said Tuesday. So he was investigating Britain and the CIA connection. He was in charge of it. And he's dead. Manchester Chief Constable Michael Todd, 50, was found dead in Snowdonia, about 240 miles west of London. Deputy Chief Constable Dave Watton said he'd been missing since he'd gone out for a walk Monday during his day off. Out for a walk. Watt said the body, which was found Tuesday afternoon, has not yet been formally identified, but it was believed to be Todd. What do you mean they don't know? What? He said the coroner's inquest would investigate the cause of death, but did not give any further details. Went out for a walk. Now they can't recognize his body. Chances are, might be foul play. Todd was elected vice president of the Associate Chief Police Officers of England and Wales in 2006, according to his biography on his website. The association gave him the task of looking into accusations that Britain allowed the CIA to use the country's airports to fly terrorism suspects to other countries without any extradition hearings, a clandestine procedure known as extraordinary rendition. Todd's investigation concluded last June that there was no evidence to back the claim. Last month, however, Britain admitted one of its remote outposts in the Indian Ocean had twice been used by the United States as a refueling stop for the secret transfer of two terrorism suspects. Interesting. I guess he probably knew just a little bit too much, eh? Wouldn't want to be someone you had poking around as a loose end over there, so I guess he must have gotten himself turned off. Very, very interesting stuff. So, you know, before y'all get up and down and start jumping up and down claiming that the police are evil, have a look at that, because it's stories like this that you need to give to police so that they understand that they too are victims of the same system. You know what I mean? So that we must, sometimes, if power comes from the barrel of the gun, the barrel of the gun only gets power from the finger on the trigger. And the finger on the trigger is the officer, the foot soldier of the army of authority. And if we can get through to them, if we can get through to the tactical and Leo community, try to imagine the influence you could have. Try to imagine the influence that could have been exalted if, say, the Jewish community back in the 30s and whatnot had made a concerted effort to befriend all law enforcement, just in the communities. Would there have been more survivors? Who knows? Who knows? Maybe I'm talking on my ass, but it's an interesting question, you must admit. Now, in cop news, police agencies from coast to coast are furious with a new website on the internet called ratemycop.com. As the names of thousands of officers, and many believe it is putting them in danger. Well, I don't know about that. Officer Hector Basurto, the vice president of Latin Patino Officers Association, recently learned about the site and he said, "I'd like to see it gone," he said. "Having a website out like this out there puts a lot of law enforcement in danger. It exposes us out there." Well, yeah. Kevin Martin, the vice president for the San Francisco Police Officers Association, agrees. They will be able to access our home addresses, home phone numbers, marital status. Whether or not we will they be able to access our home addresses, home phone numbers, marital status, or whether or not we have children? That's always a big concern for us. It's true. It's true. You wouldn't want to have too much information up there. You know, I mean, you do want to keep the law enforcement. I mean, they are the foot soldiers, and there are bad guys out there that want to hurt these guys. Even good cops, right? Creators of the site say no personal information will be on the site. They gathered officers' names, which are public information, for more than 450 police agencies nationwide. Some have listings about badge numbers along with the officers' names. This doesn't seem to be too bad. I mean, we pay these people, right? Rebecca Costell says in a statement that the site helps people rate some more than 130,000 officers by rating them on authority, fairness, and satisfaction. Well, you know, it's going to be like an open database for complaints. It's what it's going to be. She adds, our website's purpose is to break the stereotype that people have that cops are always bad, having officers become responsible for their actions. The site is so new that many Bay Area police agencies are not aware of it. San Francisco police say they have no connection to the site and would not take any of its comments seriously. Now, since this story came out, major First Amendment deal, GoDaddy, who the site was registered through, pulled the plug on it. And it went down, and then it bounced back and came back up again, and it was like, this is a really interesting site. I mean, it's still up last time I checked. So, you know, rate, R-A-T-E, my, M-Y, C-O-P, cop. RateMyCop.com. Very, very interesting. And you wonder now, just how does that work? You know, is this a good thing or is this a bad thing? Well, personally, I think that all cops should, you know, have cameras with them always on, you know, so that they're able to evaluate for their own personal defenses. Sometimes, maybe it's a good idea to make sure the cops are accountable. So they're accountable to the people that they work with in their communities. Maybe this is something that has been made. Can't uninvent it. So how do we try to take this and set ourselves correctly to use this? How do we provide the right amount of force and measure and, you know, the right kind of chutzpah to employ this properly? It's a very interesting concept. Check it out. Now, in movie manipulation news, I call it movie manipulation because really movies are what manipulate the masses. They are the circus of our time. Well, they're going to get a lot more interesting. DreamWorks Animation SKG Incorporated chief executive Jeffrey Kitzenberg promised a new era. That's a pretty big, bold word. In Movie Going Tuesday, as Hollywood Studios prepares to launch a huge slate of 3D movies for theaters that are increasingly going digital. It's nothing less than the greatest innovation that has happened for all of us in the movie business since the advent of color 70 years ago. Holy crap, Katzenberg said in an address at Show West Conference Las Vegas, where studios unveil clips and other details about upcoming movie lineups. Now is our chance to deliver something that is far superior than anything that can be done at home. Ooh, Katzenberg then showed off a 3D clip of his studio's March 2009 release, Monsters vs. Aliens, in which the U.S. military unleashes a barrage on an alien spaceship and the president fires a few rounds from a handgun, shouting, "I'm a brave president." The presentation came after the announcement of a deal calling for the conversion of 10,000 more theater screens for digital technology needed to accommodate 3D. So they're upgrading all the movie theaters to put a big push on 3D films. Access Integrated Technologies Incorporated said it has reached agreements with four studios: Disney, 20th Century Fox, Viacom, Paramount, and Universal Pictures, which is all owned by General Electric Company's NBC Universal, to finance and equip screens in the United States and Canada in the next 3 years. So if we actually had 3D movies, this is what they're going to do. This is what's going to save the industry, right? We're going to have the 3D movie experience. Well, I'm looking forward to not just that, but I'm now looking forward to the 3D movie experience as applied to Quake and other head-mounted games. I mean, that would just be the cat's ass right there, without a doubt. I mean, come on. 3D movies in IMAX? Sexy. Nothing like seeing, you know, Rambo 9 in 3D. That's all I'm saying. Now, in nanotech news, nanotech is always one of those things that, you know, could be good, could be bad, could be double-edged sword, you know, could kill us all with green goo. But in nanotech news, Japanese researchers have built a 17-molecule machine a machine made of 17 molecules capable of parallel processing, whatever the hell that means. A central control molecule is able to change the states of the other 16 molecules in a discovery that could provide a way to control many molecular machines simultaneously and eventually lead to a powerful new method of molecular assembly. Now, if you go here, they got videos and they got a bunch of stuff on this. It's a pretty wild crap, man. Model on how glial cells work to pass along instructions among neurons in the human nervous system. The machine is made entirely of the organic compound derquinone, or some kind of known. Anyway, 16 of these molecules, goes around and talks about this stuff. Now, another application, the researchers believe the first application could be mimicking the 1965 movie Fantastic Voyage, injecting the bloodstream to repair a tumor and other damaged tissue. So this is like Gen 1 nanites here from the game, the role-playing game Rifts, which if you don't play role-playing games, you should really start. They're very good for you. Another application would be building massively parallel supercomputer based on cellular neural networks, a combination of cellular automation and neural networks of the brain. So this technology is what could be used with the AI, for the cyber brain. You know, this is the kind of design and structure that would be needed. Very, very interesting stuff. Now, also, in Cyberscape news, the Cyberscape is the VR world as we understand it, and there hasn't really been anything that's really stepped up in the last little while. We've had VR worlds for a bit. We had some VRML stuff that was going on there. But recently, I've been looking into, we had the Hunker Downs got made, or Hunkers Down got made in Second Life. And now, Second Life showed up again in the news where Renaissance Polytechnical Institute researchers unveiled Eddie, a 4-year-old virtual child in Second Life who can reason about his own beliefs and draw conclusions in a manner that matches the human children of his age. A group of researchers from the Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute is working to change by engineering characters with the capacity to have beliefs and reason about the beliefs of others. The characters will be able to predict and manipulate the behavior of even human players by whom they will directly interact with in the real physical world, according to the team. Kind of wild. An idea of a computer with belief. At a recent conference on artificial intelligence, the researchers unveiled embodiment of their success to date. Eddie, a 4-year-old child in Second Life, who can reason about his own beliefs to draw conclusions in a manner that matches the human children of his own age. Current avatars in a massive multiplayer online world, such as Second Life, are directly tethered to a user's keystrokes, giving them the illusion of their mentality, said Selmer Brigenzord, head of the Rensselaer's Cognitive Science Department, leader of the project research. Truly convincing autonomous synthetic characters must possess memories, believe things, want things, and remember things. Such characters can only be engineered by coupling logic-based artificial intelligence and computational cognitive modeling techniques with the processing power of supercomputer, according to Brigenzord. The principle and techniques that humans deploy to understand and predict manipulation behavior of the humans is collectively referred to as theory of mind. Goes on to say, now here's the rub here. The logico-mathematical theory that they're using with this will include rigorous declarative definitions of all the concepts central to the theory of mind, including lying, betrayal, and even evil, according to Brigenzord. Now, this is a pretty interesting way of programming a machine to act like a person. Makes you think about things like informants in the online world, doesn't it? Now, in the news that's out there, As we look into the cyberscape, when we look into the emergence of transhumanism as it becomes more and more mainstream, eventually you're going to come across the name of Ray Kurzweil. And Ray Kurzweil, you know, he's an interesting guy. He's done a lot of writing. He's got a lot of crazy ideas. Renegade Rabbit sent me this thing, and I wanted to bring Ray Kurzweil up on the Wogscope. And this was sent from Blacklisted News. Now, Blacklisted News, these are a lot of guys. People on Blacklisted News probably listen, you know, to the show. These are folks who, you know, own firearms, maybe a bunker, maybe they got a few months supply of food, you know, a little bit aware, you know, probably gonna be the last people to die when the zombies take over. But you know, the way they write it, they're a little bit slanted. They're sort of biased. As I'll read this here. If the Matrix existed in our world today, Ray Kurzweil would most definitely have been the architect. Uh-huh. Caruso was one of the keynote speakers at this year's Game Developers Conference, and once again he pitched his cyber futurist ideas to the naive audience of 16-year-old Nintendo junkies and witless gaming editors who are only concerned about the HD wars and the color choices on next year's iPods. Kurzweil spoke about the future of gaming in the next 20 years and how advances in technology will not only benefit mankind in creating new video game capabilities, but the technology would soon be affecting humans directly, mainly in the use of nanotechnology, integrating computer interface systems and biology. All of this was, of course, bottled up in a Christmas present of video gaming advancements in order to win over the gaming kids and the industry heads. Biology is very capable and intricate and clever, Kurzweil said, but is also very suboptimal compared to what we can ultimately build with information technology and nanotechnology. If you were to place a portion of your blood with these recipients, you could do an Olympic sprint for 15 minutes without taking a breath or sit at the bottom of your pool for 4 hours. The transhumanist and technocratic societies have long dreamed for the time when technology and man would combine to allow for our weaker elements to be removed and for man to become free of disease, memory loss, conflicting emotions, and even mortality. Rise in augmented cognition hardware is currently advancing through the U.S. military, and now prototyping HSCI devices for the next generation warrior program, some of which use video games to demo and develop their AI routines, remove faulty system operations, etc. In a more general view, Kurzweil noted that the average life expectancy was growing at a rate of roughly 3 months a year. Now that information technology is affecting medicine, Kurzweil predicts that in 15 years, the life expectancy of people will start expanding to the rate of more than a year for every year that passes, essentially not just delaying off death, but actually pushing it further away with each passing day. We didn't stay on the ground, Kurzweil said, but we didn't stay on the planet, and we have not stayed within the limitations of our biology. One can only weep for the future when the ideas of transhumanism are being sold to our children disguised as shiny digital packages and gizmos that play MP3s and offer the chance to upload media to their hippocampus. What may seem as a boon for the digital entertainment industry by some as seen as a dangerous warning sign of overbearing social engineering by others. The Terminator movie's theme is that the future is not set, and the mankind only chooses its own destiny. If we leave our destiny up to people like Kurzweil, we won't have a future much longer. We'll be nothing more than echoes, ghosts in the machine. Lo, men have become the tools of their tools. Henry David Thoreau. Well, you know, that's a viewpoint. That's a viewpoint, you know. Where do I chime in on this? I don't know. I wouldn't call myself a wizard. And, you know, I wouldn't really call myself a barbarian. I like to think of myself as an occultist. You know, I use what tools are necessary in order for me to get done what I need done. And I'm not going to do anything beta. I like the idea of working with wet wiring, but I like technology. I do. And as the rant used to go, you know, let's wet wires to implants and growing hairs and, you know, give me monkey arms or whatever. It's, I think that technology marches on. So you can either, if you don't like change, you're going to like being irrelevant even less. Today's daily hack is the pacemaker hack, thanks to CP. With the right kind of kit and little know-how, it's possible to hack a pacemaker and take control. Very interesting news story there. So I got that linked up. As well, I've got the security guide to customs proofing your laptop. So next time you go through security at the airport, you'll be able to, you know, stop them from totally tearing your laptop end to end. As well, a lot in the daily hack section. I've also got 10 killer Firefox extensions for you to augment your browsing server, you know, communion. They're an unusual list of extensions that everyone is used to seeing, but these 10 add-ons that many do not know about, and they're useful for everyday web browsing. Very, very cool. As well, I found the Ultimate Boot CD. You may be aware of this. It's a hell of a utility tool. You know, you always got that CD in your wallet that you use as like a really just a device to help. It's the oh shit CD. Things go sideways. You grab that CD, throw it in, see if you get the box back up. Very, very cool utility. The Ultimate Boot CD allows you to run floppy-based diagnostics tools from a CD-ROM drive and consolidate as many diagnostic tools as possible into one bootable CD. An experimental feature that allows you to run UBCD from your USB memory stick on a newer machine that supports boarding from USB devices. Read more about UBCD and a full list of freeware diagnostic tools that are included on the site. Very, very cool. And that's all I got for you today. But don't worry, I'll be back next week to make sure you get the news you need to survive. This has been a free podcast brought to you by the Wogs Who Care. And if you would like to donate, please do so. But if you can, if you cannot donate, please do distribute. And if you can, donate. God, I'm having problems with the donate and distribute. Please do so by clicking on the donate tab on the Dark Eyeless website or send an envelope to Rant Media Studios, Box 18121, 1215C, 56th Street, Delta BC, Canada, B4M2M4. I'd also like to thank the Army of Flying Monkeys for their assistance in gathering data. If you have information that you'd like to send me, you can reach me at newsreel@rantradio.com. If you like the music in the background, make sure you check out some Psytrance, some of the best music ever made, and the evolution, I think, of all music. Well, that's pretty ballsy, isn't it? I just really got into Psytrance a while back, and I just haven't really looked back. Remember, everyone, we will never defeat the enemy if we are at each other's throats. So, let's look towards the future, because it's going to be a good time. Until next time, though, that's what Server said. End of line.
Your program to advertise a new season of Making of the Band. 10 contestants from all over the states will compete for 5 spots and do whatever it takes. Highlights include comedy, bloopers, and outtakes. Tune in Thursdays around 8:30 so you can pick the next new kids on the block. Make Jackson 5 clones, make them play hard rock. More reality shows, pick from infinite stock, cause we gotta do our part to get you people to watch. Smoking today, you gotta filter it, starting harm. Alarm the non-doers of what you're pursuing. Your pleasure speaking is all natural. It doesn't reek of tobacco burning the smell in your clothes. Great for the hassle.
Program intervene. We have a cure for herpes, but it may erupt your spleen. Other side effects may include altering the gene, giving birth to children with troubled minds and nervous.
We now interrupt your program to advertise a new at-home retinal scan. It's government approved and it's safe for all ages to use, but it might cause a cranial bruise. There's no longer a need for keys to lose. If you purchase right now, you automatically register for a chance to win the Carnival Cruise. Call 1-800-EYE-SCAN. It's right for you. This brief long-winded infomercial, but we're the ones who brought you flag decals, concentrated freedom and peace. Die out for those leaders, died out.
We interrupt your program to inform you that George Bush has another scam to get his son re-elected without the help of his fans and lower the price of gas just to get you in his hands.
We interrupt this program. Let's listen now to a commercial for.
We now return you to.
We now interrupt your program with a message from NEO, the name brand. We're cutting prices at the warehouse, so come and purchase the clothing that'll make you look fresh on the surface. When you're reminiscing, it goes without being said that you'll have a logo on your back and your pant leg. But don't forget to grab accessories on the way out, especially the ones that's already pretty.
Hi, we have a new standard of living that we can sell to you with any credit card given. Visa or Master, it even treats colon cancer. Doctors are on site with cameras and broadcasted. You have been the victims, gives them a mass marketing. So the populace could be controlled to forget of their origin. And additional to this package is a pair of new shoes for you and your family with matching dolls or Blue's Clues.
Your people work so hard to respect. Don't you want to be like the rest or be left with a comparison amongst the that's a vote, yes, the vote, that never spoke. A refund needs a dream for better things. So it seems the only out is to be right to life to fit what we see.
Let's listen to an important public service message.
For a limited time.
Our next subject.
And now back to us.
Round 10 back-to-back episodes of Sports Talk begins. We repeat it 6 times in a row, so don't miss it. But if you do, here's a website to go and visit, complete with all the latest highlights and updates. And tonight we'll feature a contest where 7 300-pound men all have a chance to see who can eat the most cupcakes without regurgitating.
Are you depressed? Shallow in the chest. Boyfriends always leaving you cause the size of your breasts. We have a new method of giving you more for less. A hormonal massage, but does it really work? Oh yes, we got the time misogynists and scientists working together so you can feel that new cashmere sweater up with plump bumps of artificial self-esteem rhythm provided to you by the Cleveland Club.
Okay, envision yourself on a beautiful beach with beautiful freaks, beautiful horizon, that beautiful Jeep you own, beautiful day, beautiful way to spend time on that beautiful bay and beautiful sky. Can't forget the beautiful photogenic camera to take beautiful pictures of the beautiful, beautiful, beautiful light. Thanks to this beautiful moment, remember that it can be beautiful with Kodak's disposables.
We urge you to listen to these instructions carefully.